I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello! Welcome along to this week's episode. That was a long gap, wasn't it? This week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the caramel?
Blew my ears off. I'm good.
Good stuff. How's work going? I haven't had the baby, by the way. We're still babyless. It's we're recording this on Thursday morning, Thursday the 27th, I think, of November. Is it 27th? Something like that, yeah. 29th, I think. So this will come out on Monday, so a couple of days before. But hopefully over the weekend, we might have a baby. We'll see. That should be exciting. But how are you, Jermaine? How's things going over there?
It's all right. Crazy as usual, you know. So, I'm driving the bus.
Yeah.
And then driving along, and all I can hear is someone going, "Awa, awa." That's right. And I'm thinking, what is going on? So I look over, and it's a Rasta man, right?
Yeah.
And he's like shaking his head, nodding. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's just crazy.
Yeah.
So I carry on driving. Someone will cut me up. He'll kiss his teeth. So basically, it was like, you know, like backseat driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever was going on, he was giving a reaction. And it was hilarious. I'm obviously trying not to laugh. Yeah. I drive along. And then we get to the end. He comes to the front and goes, "Driver." He goes, obviously he was telling it in Jamaica. He's like, "You're a bad man, driver." He says, that's how you're supposed to drive the bus. He's going, I was like, yeah, cheers, pal, cheers.
Jermaine, the bad man driver. I was once running through Victoria Park and a Rasta stopped me. I'm not going to be able to do the accent, so I'm not part of the crowd. And he said to me, he goes, "Weird man, what's that coming out your leg? What's that coming out your shorts? There's a thread coming out your shorts." And I was like, "What?" I looked down at my legs. And he goes, "Oh, wait, it's your legs." Laughing at me.
Oh, boy.
Was that bad? I sounded a little more like a Geordie, didn't I?
I don't know what you sounded like, but that was dodgy.
So, yeah, Rasta's in London. You got to love it.
So today, what we talk about today?
Today's show is about... as you mentioned before we came on air, it's a Christmas box of stuff. We talk about variety in your training, variety in your life. Because basically, this week I'm slowly getting my way back to running, and because I've been not doing much, and because I'm now a bit, you know, get the babies coming, I thought I'd go and see a chiropractor because my shoulder's been hurting because the way I've been sleeping or whatever. And I always knew my hips are a bit of a mess. But like one hip's way, basically I'm totally out of kilter. So my whole body is a little bit, my left hip's further forward. I weigh more on my left side than my right side, all these kind of things. So it got me thinking, like, basically when I think about training, I'm thinking, right, when am I next going to go for my run? When am I next going to go and get this done? And actually, probably if I really sat down and thought, right, I'm going to try and make a comeback, get back to the London Marathon, the first thing I should be thinking about is having a bit of variety, like getting my body sorted, you know, getting ready to start training. And like, again, like our Killian Shawnee interview a few weeks back, he talked about the fact that his long career and his career was partly due to the fact that he did skiing through the winter months and running through the summer months. So in a way, like, although the first idea for us as runners is to run, maybe we are, in doing that, we should, you know, maybe we're doing the wrong thing for our bodies in focusing so much on running. And maybe we should think a bit more about our training, think about the variety we could introduce to our training regime. How varied was your training, Jermaine, when you were running? Did you want to do anything other than get out there and hit the miles?
Well, I didn't like hitting the miles.
No,
so I'd rather do something else. But I always thought if I'm doing something different, I'm going to have an edge on my opponents.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember like one of my main rivals was Adam Bowden, and he used to be a swimmer.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I should do some swimming to like improve lung capacity, you know?
Yeah, okay. But caramel
so
don't
I did
float.
Some swimming. Well, I'm half white, half black, so I'm like crooked, you know, heads up, but my legs are sinking. Yeah, so I'd like to swim once a week, obviously, you know, like try and improve my lungs. And obviously I think, okay, then, I've got power breathe, you know, things like that. So...
But you just but did yeah. some extra stuff. So what's that power breath? That's that machine you blow into and stuff.
You blow into like you're doing a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got to hold your breath. So it helps you like, and then you've got to push your power output. But then when you breathe back in to get oxygen, it's got restricted air that comes in.
Okay.
So you have to suck really, oh, that sounds dodgy.
Yeah.
You have to suck really hard.
Yeah.
And it's like breathing, it's like I'm trying to breathe through a straw.
Yeah, okay. So it's like improving, like, it's almost like, is it like being at altitude? Is it like having restricted?
Well, they tried to claim it's like being at altitude, but it's not, because obviously the science in being at altitude is actually the oxygen in the air, where you're not reducing the oxygen in the air, you're just reducing the amount of air coming into your lungs at a certain time.
Okay. But you were, when you were at your very best, do you think you had the kind of quite a varied, different training you're doing?
Well, yeah. I did. Yeah, you know, little bits of core stability. Just thought, I thought I'll do little bits, okay. And in my head, I was all thinking, oh, this is going to give me the edge. This is going to give me the edge.
Yeah.
And obviously, that keeps you motivated to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And also, because it's variety, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
Like I used to love going to the gym once a week to do powerlifting.
Yeah.
Because it was like really good, because it weren't just running.
Yeah.
And I'll obviously be the skinniest person in there when I make fun of me saying I'm the pepper army. But, it was good.
Yeah, okay. It's funny for me because I think for you that's quite easy because, like, you're talented, right? So you can actually run, right? So for you, it feels like you've got that talent, that's banked, and then you can do these additional things. But for me, who basically, I, honest to God, I don't have any talent for running. Like, it's just basically I run a lot. That's made me... And I'm determined, right? So for me, I always thought the best thing I can do possible is running. Just get out there and run. Don't worry about the other stuff. I've never really been into doing much gym. I tried hard, but I just can never really get into it. But looking back, if I really like take a objective view and analyze what was going well for me when I was running at the best, it was when I was a running personal trainer, right? So I used to go and meet all these people in parks and do sessions with them. So I was doing a hell of a lot of running. But the most important thing about it was I was doing a lot of drills and plyometrics because I do it with them. So I do a bit of core work with them. I do a bit of plyometrics and drills. So I know that's not like not really varied, but at least that when I was running at my best, when my technique was probably at its strongest, was when I was doing a lot of additional work like that. So I think
when you do additional work, also it helps strengthen other parts of your body. So, you know, like you said now, your pelvis is all out of place.
Yeah.
But if you've got strong glutes, strong core from doing other stuff, obviously that just helps prevention of injury from just running.
Yeah, yeah. When I think about it, I think my engine's pretty good. Right? I think I can run hard and long, and my training suggests that I'm in good form. But I think actually now getting older, that is what you got to do, focus on more is doing those, making sure everything is working brilliantly. Do you know what I mean? The whole process is set up correctly, and that involves being a bit more varied and less damn, you know, headstrong at just getting running done. If that made any sense at all, but hey. So the interview for this week is with a guy I know well. His name's Connor Hancock. Now, Connor is a young guy. He lives up in Sheffield. He does obstacle course racing. And he's one of the world's best. He got a bronze medal a couple of years ago at the World Championships at OCR. So kind of obviously he's not just running, he's doing all these obstacles as well. So his training is quite varied with climbing and boxing, that sort of thing. And he's going to talk to us about how he got into OCR and what he does. Yeah, here he is. Here's Connor. So on this week's show, we are talking to one of the top OCR competitors in the world, Connor Hancock. How are you doing, Connor?
Hello there. All good. How are you?
Very well. Very well. And you're a former world medalist at the OCR. You won a medal back in 2016.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, bronze 2016. And not forgetting team world champions as well. I guess we were me, John Alban, James Appleton, 2015, 16 and 17, yeah.
Wow. The Brits dominating.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
How did you originally get into OCR?
I've trained for years, so I trained from young, really, like 10, 11 year old. And then I've liked to mix it up, so I always get bored. So I do a sport for a while.
Yeah.
I'm like box reader, so I didn't think, oh, I'm getting a bit monotonous this, I'll do something else. at the time, I was doing CrossFit. I think I was 19, I was doing CrossFit, and I did a mini event with that gym.
Yeah.
And then I signed up for an event called Man V Mountain. That were 2013.
Yeah.
Back in, that'd be September. I did that one, then I straight away wanted another challenge. So I seen a Spartan Beast up that were in 2013 November.
Yeah.
I didn't really realise I were lined up against John Alban, who's currently a 5-time world champion, Ross McDonald, Thomas Blank. So a really good lineup of people who are still doing well now.
And did you go off with them at the front?
Yeah, Australia, I was straight in at front. There were people, cameras there, people videoing them, taking pictures. I was just like looking around thinking, you're having it, I'm going to win, I'm going to beat you all. I was being competitive. I thought, you're no match for me. I raced them. I had a really tough race, really. Just scraped to third place, John first, Ross, then me.
Yeah.
And that were it. Yeah. I got back home, figured out who these guys were. But bloody hell, they're pretty good at this OCR thing. not really. I got ball rolling 2014. I had a packed out season and just kept it going, I guess.
Yeah. And did you see you stopped doing the other sports at that point?
No, I've always... It's only been this past couple of years, really. I've always... So, obviously, it were running anyway, and it were me boxing and CrossFit. But, yeah, I stopped doing CrossFit because I think that's a bit of wear and tear on your joints, too much lifting.
Yeah.
But boxing-wise, yeah, I've not been doing it too much this past couple of years, but early on in my OCR career, 2014 and 15, I was boxing regular.
Oh, nice. And your brother's a boxer too, so was that part of your childhood, doing sports and boxing and stuff?
Yeah, I guess you were, really. We've got these three brothers, me, Callum and Charlie. Callum's the older one, me, middle, and younger one, Charlie. So it's not part of childhood, because he just likes to play his PlayStation.
That's the modern day, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose one of them's got to have a rest. But yeah, my dad used to train. He used to be a national swimmer when we were young.
Yeah.
So then he got us into training, basically. Yeah, Callum got into boxing at age 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And I got into running. No, not really, but even when we were young, we used to always train together. So I guess we bounced off each other. We'd go run together in water, get back, do some sparring on garden. So we're always training like that.
Yeah. And you're based up in Sheffield. And is it quite easy to get out there and run in the peaks and stuff? Where do you normally train?
It's perfect, really. So through growing up, I've always run in just local woods, Eckington Woods. But yeah, Peak District's literally 12 miles away, so you can just drive out there easy enough.
Oh, nice.
There's plenty of hills, nice views. So yeah, I love getting up there.
Yeah, and is it like is there quite a lot of sort of endurance activity going on there? Is there loads of people out on their bikes and people running?
Oh, this stack Sheffield's brilliant. Like yeah, you've got as a city itself, like it's brilliant. There's just no end.
Yeah,
your boxing, Thai boxing, mixed martial arts. Your swimming. You've got Ponds Forge National Swimming Place. You've got EIS. You've probably heard of Institute of Sport. Woodburn Road.
Yeah.
The old one where people used to be at the track.
Oh,
I guess it's a good full mix. Then you've got the Peak District, which obviously you've got all your walkers, ramblers, runners, spell runners, then your mountain bikers.
Yeah.
Because as a city, it's really active, I guess.
Nice. And if you follow your Instagram, which I do, obviously, there's plenty of pictures of you jumping off aqueducts and stuff, isn't there? Is there like Where do you actually go for that?
Oh, for water skiing type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not far as well. That's literally 3 miles away. So that's got your, that's your park run on there every week. It's just a Rubber Valley Country Park.
Yeah.
That's another nice place to have a flat run. And it's obviously a massive lake. So you've got an aqua park and the biggest water skis in the UK.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Probably like, I guess it's 600 meter loop. So it's a big old loop with your jumps on as well.
Oh, cracking.
So, yeah, days I have off, went in summer, I like to get down there and have a skim round water.
Yeah, nice. You're selling Sheffield. I want to move up there now.
Yeah, it's nice. It's good.
And like you said, the first race at the Spartan Beast you did, you obviously went up there and you gave it a good go. And so you're pretty good. You had a lot of success fairly early on doing it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was? What are your strengths as an athlete, an OCR athlete?
I think starting, because I had a good base without realising, I guess, from all my friends just thought I were nutcase, so she just loved to train since young.
Yeah.
Always ran, always biking. Then I started doing mixed martial arts, boxing. So I guess I mixed everything in. I used to swim quite a bit. Obviously, like I said, boxing, biking. So I had, muscle-wise, I used everything, and with CrossFit as well, I used to do quite a lot of strength and scaffolding from early on.
Yeah.
I guess I went into this, and I weren't the best runner. I weren't the best at climbing ropes. I weren't the strongest, but I could do them all at a pretty good level.
Yeah.
I guess I just loved it. They just suited me.
Yeah.
And mentally, I can dig in. So when it gets tough, when you start cramping up and people start breaking down, like, that's when I think, right, you're having it. If they're struggling, that makes me think, dig deeper.
Yeah. No, that is, like, I find the mental side the most interesting part about sport. Like, have you developed that, or is your character that you are quite a tough competitor?
Yeah, I guess, even looking back from starting, I've always, even chucking myself into, like, 2014, like, I've never done a marathon, but
yeah.
My first marathon I did were a tough guy marathon, so like an obstacle course marathon.
Yeah, well.
And that were all of them really pretty good mentally, definitely. It's probably an odd race where I'm not fully in it, but
yeah,
99% of the time, yeah, I'm always switched on for it.
Yeah, and at that stage, obviously, you're competing with those guys that were world champions. Did you think you could ever sort of reach the heights that you have? Did you think you could ever sort of win a bronze medal at the World Championships?
Nah, it's a bit, it's weird. So I did, I had my first year 2014 and I was running with Muddy Race at the time.
Yeah.
And they got me out to World Championships, first one in 2014. And I was lined on elites. I was like following guys like Ryan Atkins, John Alban, Junyon Pack. People at the time was there, Hobie Cole, thinking, bloody hell, I just planned on thinking, right, if I finish top 20, I'm buzzing.
Yeah.
24, I finished 8th place 2014. So now I was like, bloody hell, I didn't think I'd get that. But I was still, even though I finished 8th, I was still probably 8 minutes behind such as Alban.
Yeah.
So I never really thought, I don't know, I always aimed for podium, but I didn't think I'd make it up there. The year after I went back, I thought, I wonder if it were a fluke. And then I went back 2015 and got 4th place. I were only 10 seconds off 3rd then.
Wow.
And I was still doing really well at UK and European. So I just always managed to get myself up there. I tend to start slower.
Yeah.
And then chip away as the race goes on.
Yeah.
And 2016 come along and obviously got 3rd. I was buzzing with it, really happy.
Do you remember much about that race? Do you remember, like, how you're feeling going through that and thinking, did you remember that thought of being in 3rd place and thinking, God, I've got to hang on to it or anything?
Yeah, well, to be fair, it didn't really kick in till we were all last minute. I were in 5th place. I was sat in 5th.
Yeah.
Racing with Ryan Atkins at first half, then he took off, and then I were in a solid 5th place. There were John Alban, Ryan Atkins,
yeah,
a guy called Sergey, and then there were Robert Killian, top American. So I thought, right, I'm settled for 5th place, and then I passed Robert Killian out last mile at running section, which I thought, bloody, I can't believe I just passed him. Being like really exciting, I passed him. So then I thought, right, I'm settled on 4th place.
Yeah.
And then I got to the final obstacle, and Sergey, he had no strength left, so he couldn't finish the last obstacle.
Oh, really?
I thought, no way. I thought just like all crowds cheering, but no way, it's happening.
Yeah.
And he got to it. I just flew through that obstacle. We're both on the final wall.
Yeah.
He had nothing left in his grip. Flew over it and just, all of a sudden, literally at last 100 meter, I got 3rd place. I just sprinted down like couldn't really believe it. it was mental, a good feeling, definitely.
Yeah, and I remember last year, I think there was a guy who got a medal for the U American team. He tested positive for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess because it's quite a small sport, like you don't. There's not as much of that stuff going on, but is it becoming a problem? Do you think, or?
I don't look too much. I try not to think about it too much. Yeah, but I've raced several events, and I'm thinking maybe like some big event where there's a lot of rules, and obviously some are at altitude anyway. But I'm looking at some of the guys. Some guys basically, you've got your world championships, and they do drug testing.
Right.
You do get top three, or they might do random.
Yeah.
They will drug test, but you get a lot of people who race your Spartan races.
Yeah.
They'll turn up for your Spartan world champs, but they'll not turn up for your OCR world champs. And that makes me think, what's going on here? Why are they not racing OCR world champs, but they are the Spartan?
Yeah.
The Spartan, obviously, they don't drug test. So I think, I don't like to think it, but yeah, I'd imagine there's quite a few people dabbled in a little bit of stuff, but
yeah.
I guess you just try not to think
just
about it.
Black it out. And what is it like, because I say OCR, but like, is there a huge difference between like Spartan race and all the, you know, obviously Tough Mudder in the UK and that sort of thing and Tough Guy? Is there like, do you need different skills to do those different events or?
Yeah, 100%. It's all an obstacle race, but luckily I've managed to do pretty well in them all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same again. So you might have you'll have a Tough Mudder. That'll be in the UK. It'll be 10 miles. The tip for me, there's not many obstacles. You might have one or two obstacles per mile.
Right.
So it's pretty much you running. You're a lot of running Tough Mudder.
Right.
Then you get a Spartan race, and then you've got a lot of carries. So Spartan chuck more carries in than what other events do.
Okay.
So that makes a big difference. Then you have such as your toughest race that's in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
They'll just be like a 5 mile blast out with a full mix of technical obstacles. So you'll have like your salmon ladders, your nunchucks, a lot of stuff that's really like ninja-y, I guess, for people who don't do it much.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all in OCR world. That's like a good mix of everything put together.
Yeah. Okay. And so for those like who fancy giving the sport a go, like what sort of skills? Let's say if we are doing more of the sort of less the running, more of the sort of the Spartan stuff with the carries. What sort of skills do you think you need to prepare for that to make a good effort at it?
I'd say in every race you need a good base of running. So even your, they are still built up with 70-80% running, definitely. Obviously, your start line, you might have to cover 10 miles no matter what you do in between.
Yeah.
So to have a good set of legs and lungs on you, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're going into a Spartan race to start, I'd say get a nice base on your running going and maybe just some basic strength stuff.
Right.
Basic stuff in your gym, your basic body weight, pull-ups, press-ups, dips. And maybe chuck some carries in.
Okay.
Just grab a sandbag basically and get some reps done after you've done a run. Just get used to carrying awkward obstacles, awkward stuff that you're not really used to.
Yeah. Okay. And one thing I've always thought, oh, I'll give it a go one day, but I'm such a little weakling in the arms, and I watch those guys on the monkey bars, and I think, how the hell am I going to do that? Can you do sort of grip strength and stuff? Is that something you'd advise?
Yeah, that's massive. Yeah. So if I were to recommend, I'd say definitely a lot of running and your climbing. I forgot that one. Running, climbing, that's pretty much this past couple of years all I've really trained.
Okay.
So I might run 6 days a week. If I'm training full time, be like maybe 6 days a week running, sometimes double day.
Yeah.
And then climbing, I'll definitely get 3 solid climbs in.
Right.
And then your other stuff, like your strength type stuff. So I'll do a climb. That's using a lot of grip work, a lot of pull, lot of movement on wall. And then after that, I might go upstairs and do some strength stuff. I might get some weighted pulls done, basic body weight.
Okay.
But yeah, 100% your grip. Your grip and your running is massive, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. So you don't need to go and spend loads of time in like CrossFit in the gym and that sort of thing. If you do sort of more typical activities, you can get the strength you need to.
Yeah, to get... I think so. Yeah. I always compare Alban, because John Alban is a phenomenal athlete. I guess you've heard of Alban, but he's obviously his running's phenomenal, and he's to say he seems to run loads, and maybe he'll be climbing, I guess, a couple of days a week.
Yeah,
you don't see him in a gym doing deadlifts, heavy squats. he don't do none of that, but because he's such a good runner on hills, he trains hills a lot.
Yeah.
He's got super strong legs and he's a good climber. He can manage his body weight well.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I aim to do as well. People probably look at me and say the same, but I always use him as an example, but he doesn't really go out and lift. But when it comes to the grind, he's such a good all-rounder from doing this mix of training that he just cracks on with.
Yeah, because he was like, he ran for Britain in the mountain running championships and things, didn't he? And he does a lot of sky running and stuff really well. So, yeah, he shows it can be done. And he's the world champion currently, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 5 times OCR world champion and he's won 2 Spartan world champs as well.
Right, okay. So, as runners, we can make the transition.
Yeah, maybe next year or so, Sean, you might be able to fit him.
Have you seen me climbing, Connor? I can't climb a tree. Yeah. And how do you make the sport work? So obviously, it's not like a highly paid activity necessarily. How do you like fund yourself to keep competing?
To be honest, I've just managed to get through, really. The first couple of years, I was scaffolding. So I did me 2013, 14 and 15.
Yeah.
I was still scaffolding. So I was still earning and I was just doing the sport as you do sport. I was training hard and I just signed up for my own events and just ran.
Yeah.
Then I did, I think, 20 end of 2015, 2016, I pretty much had off.
Right.
And I was still working, but I weren't doing as much, but. Yeah. They got to a point where you were paying out for these events. I was thinking, right, if I pay out for these events, I might be able to win some back to get me onto the next event.
Yeah.
But it's obviously that hard to make sure you're winning these big events. It's pretty hard to cover. I guess ultimately I have had sponsorship, but it's not enough to live off.
Yeah, okay.
The sponsorship might cover your races, your travel and accommodation, etc., but you actually can't make a living. I can't make a living off doing it.
Yeah, okay.
Currently, unless I got a big sponsor.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just a growing sport. You never know. Next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep hoping.
And so you were saying a bit earlier, you get out to work at 5 a.m, you come home, you're training at sort of 5 p.m. Like, how much training, like, when you are fit, let's say, like, how many times a week are you training and what's it kind of look like?
I do, on average, 6 days a week run. Definitely have your one day off.
Yeah.
In that, it'd probably be, say, if you train 6 or 7, maybe 5 of them would be easy sessions and 2 would be a key sessions.
Yeah.
So you don't want to knack yourself up too much. Maybe do an hard session on Tuesday.
Yeah.
A bit of a tempo, not a slow session, but a bit of a mix-up on Thursday, and chuck a good one in at weekend, or a race, chuck a race in at weekend, and that can be another hard session.
Yeah.
But obviously, in between your hard sessions, making sure you're having your steady runs as well.
Yeah.
So just ticking your legs over, getting out, getting a few miles in, and then climbing, really.
Yeah. And do you do the both together? Do you run, then climb sort of thing? Do you do something?
No, I wish I did. Unfortunately, bloody climbing, I haven't got a shower.
Oh, right.
So I tend to, if it is a run and climb day, I'll run near where Woodburn Road is. So I do mix it in, I'll run. Now I'll get showered at Woodburn Road. I'll just drive along another mile and nip to the climbing centre.
Yeah, nice.
I like to have, say if it's my rest day, I'll use that as a recovery climb. So I'll not be running. My exercise today, I'll just be climbing.
Yeah.
Fit
it all in. And you've run the National Cross. You've competed at Parliament Hill. How was that experience?
Oh, yeah. I thought you might have forgot about that. And that was brilliant. I think it was last February or March. Obviously, seeing you there as well. But
yeah,
oh, we're good. It was looking at pictures. I looked a bit. You could tell I do OCR. I see myself as quite skinny and lean.
Yeah.
But then when I race some pure runners, you can see. You see the difference. They're like your whippets, and I've got a bit more size than them. But I think I finished about 300, but I guess there were 2,000 plus in it. But no, it was brilliant. It was good to do. It was different as well. Because you were literally, I felt like from the off, as soon as gun went, I felt like they were in a tin of tuna. They felt squashed.
Yeah.
But no, it was a brilliant experience, definitely.
And you're going to do the cross country again this winter?
Yeah, I've not actually signed up. I've just been looking at my training plan for next year. I need to make sure I'm signed in for that. I always start my year with local cross countries.
Yeah.
I think I'll chuck that Parliament Hill just to get in mix again and just see what happens.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. And I've got three quick questions that we asked to all of the guys we interview. And they are, if you could be anywhere running now, where would that be?
Ooh. I'd say somewhere, I love to run in all climates, but I'd say just get me a mountain somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd love to go, I've not been yet, but I'd like to go Norway.
Yeah.
And Pyrenees, I'd love to explore around there, but I'd be equally as happy just going to Snowdonia for the weekend.
Yeah, nice. Because Norway's becoming a bit of like a hot spot now, isn't it? Because Killian's there and because John's there, isn't he? John Albion's there?
Yeah, John Albion lives there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the place.
I've seen Killian's there last week as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's training with John or if he's just thinking this John's quite good. I best up in the game and get to Norway.
Yeah. Well, him and his wife, because his wife's Swedish, and I think they live somewhere in the west. In the mountains, Killian now.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. My friend's, he probably isn't listening to this, but Alden, he lives over in Norway, and I've always, nice to go there and visit. It's such a nice country.
Yeah, definitely.
One day. Our second question is, recommend us something. So it can be anything, TV, film, book.
I'd recommend, for looking at this, I'd just recommend people to, I know you're trying to sell Sheffield.
Yeah.
I'd recommend getting, if you've not been, people tend to, I'm not saying they dodge it, but they think they pass Peak District so much and people don't really go.
Yeah, okay.
If you're localish, I'd just recommend get to Peak District, or if you're local to Snowdonia, Lake District, get yourself in the hills, see some nice stuff, go a nice walk and have a scone.
Nice. Yeah. I like the scone bit, that's it.
Yeah.
That sold me, I'm coming.
But do you have clotted cream or jam first? That's the question.
Well, I'd go for... my wife's from Devon, so I don't want to get it wrong with her, but I always I'll go for cream first and then a bit of jam on the top.
Yeah, oh, good. Yeah. Good deal, but yeah, I had it same, yeah.
I'm not sure whether that's... I think that's
the way around, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's the Devon way, I think, but anyway. Yeah. I'm from Dorset, so I can say what I like. Yeah. And what do you think is the greatest endurance performance of all time, in your opinion?
That's just another one I had a good think about. So looking at, obviously, different sports, I'd still say Kipchoge, marathon runner. I think he's just phenomenal. I just obviously love watching his stuff and following him, but he's won so many marathons anyway.
Yeah.
And to keep breaking these records, it's just and he don't dodge people. He'll tell people where his race is. Right, I'm racing here.
Yeah.
All the best turn up.
Yeah.
And he still performs. He still comes out on top.
Yeah.
But when he did, I think it were, you'll know which one it were, not long back, he did the 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds.
Yeah.
And that to me is just, it's just phenomenal, isn't it? It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, incredible stuff.
Yeah, and obviously that Nike event he did last year, I think he did nearly sub 2 then, didn't he?
Yeah, 2 hours 23. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, to think a man
for me like that. That what he's done, that marathon record, I think it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and you watch, if you watch like a lot of guys when they're really going that fast, I mean they're incredible. Like, but they finish the race and they look like they. You can tell they've just done a marathon. Do you know what I mean? They struggle to walk and...
Yeah, so he finishes looking fresh.
Yeah, and he had to run round, didn't he, after Berlin? He was running round, like, celebrating with the crowd and all that. And crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
He runs at maybe, 440 a mile?
Yeah, yeah. Like 14.50 at 5K, I think.
Continuous. Yeah, that'd be like that. It'd be like a 400-meter rep for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unbelievable.
Fantastic. Well, nice one, Connor. That was perfect. We'll wish you luck for next season in the OCR, and hopefully we'll see you coming home with another medal. Perhaps see you at the National Cross.
Yep, definitely.
Nice one. Cheers, Connor.
Cheers, Sean. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So nice chatting to Connor. It's a nice insight into the different world of OCR. So I guess a lot of people, sort of runners here, it's a bit of a different, you know, a traditional running would kind of maybe look down on OCR being different and being new. But actually, you know, Connor's doing the National Cross Country. He's involved with the sport, and it's a good way to get out there and get a bit of variety in your training. So give it a crack.
A bit of spice, but we'll be using those tips because obviously we'll be taking on these other podcasts.
Yeah,
and I know a few of them are running scared, like marathon. Paul.
Yeah, I think so.
They ain't even got back to us. They run little chickens. You know.
Yeah, our challenge is going to be created by Cloud 259 Podcast. They're looking to have a battle of the podcasts. next March, I think we're looking for next next quarter one of next year, a half marathon race off the podcast against each other. Oh, it looks like it's going to be a half marathon. What do you mean? I was going to say that. You're lucky because I've also had an email from a guy, Johnny Sable. He is based in London, but he said there's a great event that we should get involved with. It's called the Presley Beast, right? It's in Pembrokeshire. It's a fell run. It's a fell run around the hills.
When it says beast, you think, let me hide under my bed sheets, you know. Shit. Yeah, go on.
It's a fell run around the Presley Hills of Pembrokeshire. It's run by a good friend of Johnny's called Carwin Phillips, a.k.a. Kaz the Hat. Now, do you think... why do you think Kaz is called Kaz the Hat? Do you think it's because he always wears a hat? Or do you think it's because he never wears a hat? Which one of the two do you think it is? I think it's because he always wears a hat. But anyway, Kaz the Hat, he organises the race. There's three distances, all right? There's an 11-mile, 1,700-foot route, or a 24 mile and a 32 mile route, all of which we can do. So he's signed. He's already signed us. It's 11, 24, or 32.
He's already signed us up.
He says, Jermaine, I've paid for Jermaine's entry, and if he doesn't, he owes me 100. He says, no, he hasn't. That's really. He says, come along and do it. It's in, where is it? I can't see the date of it on, but we'll have a look at that. The Presley Beast. Sounds like a good one, Johnny. Perhaps
that's in cross country season, right? It's not.
Let me have a look. I think it's the Presley Beast is in Sunday, the 11th of May. So yeah, there could be a possibility. We can go and have a little holiday, Jermaine. We can me, you, the baby. We'll go camping on the Pembrokeshire coast, and we'll do the race. What do you think?
What, the 4 miler?
Yeah,
because I ain't doing no pee. wait, but let's talk numbers. What's the prizes?
The prizes? Oh, I can't see the prizes. Yeah, there's nothing there for the prizes, unfortunately. But hey, so
oh,
yeah.
Boy. Oh, boy. I'm all right on hills, so I don't mind doing hills.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. A bit of a fail run for Jermaine. Yeah, the first Jamaican fail runner.
Don't worry, I know your tricks, Sean. Yeah. I know how to kick off the rocks and trees when you turn corners, you know.
So that's nice. That could be a possibility for a challenge. I think we could do two. We could do that and the Also had a nice feedback, Jermaine, from last week's interview with Scott Newton about runner's knee. And it said, without doubt, my favourite, this is a tweet from Noel Thatcher, without doubt, my favourite running injury diagnosis, courtesy of the Caramel Kid, being hit with a frying pan leading to profiterole knee pain. Clinical goal.
Hey, just call it Dr. Caramel. Yeah.
Don't go and try it at home, everybody. It's not a good injury to suffer from. Don't hit your brothers and sisters with frying pans. Yeah, right. And we've got some good reviews as well. Speaking of interactions, we've had some nice ones. We've had two reviews since we last chatted, and
it's doubled.
Yeah, so we've got one that says 5 stars from HLT Runs. It says, started listening in August from episode 1 and have finally caught up. Does that make me an ever-present? ? Yeah, it does. You're in there. Top work, White Devil and Caramel Kid. Highly entertaining and informative for all levels of runners. So thanks from HLT Runs. Nice one.
Yes, that's good, yeah.
And then we've got another one. The title is Emojis. It's got a runner, a bus, and a crying face laugh emoji. So thanks for that. And that's by Ben Raj. And I know Ben from Instagram, and he says this is the best running, and he's a Kent AC runner, so he's a local to us both, or formerly local to us both. So this is the best running and bus podcast on the whole of the internet. Thanks to the great advice. Thanks to the great running advice.
I don't know about the bus one.
It says, thanks to the great running advice and my newfound fear of travelling on TfL buses. I'm running more than ever. With the Batman driver, as the bus said. So yeah,
but imagine, all you need is like a bus manager going, he'd be like, what bus did this happen on? When did it happen on? If you're looking at, oh, no, we need to talk to these drivers.
Yeah. We should make you anonymous, Jermaine, because otherwise people are going to think it's going to come back to you. But hey.
Well, no. No, I don't do... it's not my fault. It's the passengers.
Exactly.
Yeah. How could I put it? Theatrics. That brings us... That brings us the story. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's not crazy driving. So I'm safe.
Yeah, yeah. Nice one. Well, what are you up to next week? You got much on?
Obviously, getting Christmas presents. Trying to get them in early before the bum rush.
You know? Good idea. Why don't you buy a beautiful Let's Get Running vest or T-shirt from Let's Get Running UK stuff? You didn't even know that I was going to slip that in. That was a good one. I'm pleased about that.
Oh, no. That's a good one.
Nice link. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, hey. I'm hoping nobody that knows me is expecting a Christmas present off me this year, because I'm going to be busy with a baby. So hopefully that will come over the weekend. Oh, she will come, rather. And, yeah, that's going to be exciting. Molly's getting ready, so that should be my next week. If we're bound to have a podcast out for you next week. Hopefully we're going to start our series of shows about different race distances, but we'll let you know all about that.
Well, we'll know when you've had the baby, Sean, because you'll be getting less and less lively on the talk shows because you'll be so tired.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I got to keep the energy up. Yeah, excellent. Right, well, I'll get off and help Molly, but we'll catch up again next week. Nice one, Jermaine.
Cool, cool. See you later.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.